Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge in Washington state temporarily halted President Trump's executive order seeking to limit birthright citizenship, saying it violates the 14th Amendment.
The 83-year-old Reagan appointee who heard the initial argument on the president's executive order said in his four decades on the bench, he can't recall a more clear case. Judge John Kuhnauer called Trump's move blatantly unconstitutional, and he swiftly issued a restraining order to block it. The president has aimed to prohibit the issuance of passports and social security numbers to children born to immigrants here illegally or on visas starting next month.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Senator Lisa Murkowski says she's a no vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, citing his past comments on women serving in combat and allegations of mishandling finances. Republicans can only lose three votes without Democratic support. The majority of the country remains locked in a deep freeze. That includes rare snow in the South. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new report from the Wisconsin Realtors Association found home prices and overall sales rose again in 2024. According to the report, the number of home sales rose by nearly 5% over 2023, and the average price jumped nearly 9% to $310,000. The report also noted that while home prices are rising in the state, they have not risen as quickly as other regions. Experts cited high demand and low supply for the seller's market, and higher mortgages with stagnant income contributing to affordability challenges. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers delivered his 7th State of the State address on Wednesday night, declaring 2025 as the Year of the Kid. In his speech, Governor Evers outlined a number of policies, programs, and initiatives aimed at making Wisconsin's youth smarter, healthier, and safer. He also announced policy proposals to restore the 48-hour waiting period to purchase firearms and invest in comprehensive mental health services. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called for spending cuts and a tax cut in the party's response. A new report from the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis found that plans for a tunnel on Enbridge Energy's Line 5 pipeline will cost much more than originally anticipated. According to the report, the organization estimated that the total cost of the project will be much higher than the $500 million estimation the company shared in 2018. In addition to the higher cost, Enbridge Energy is currently engaged in a legal battle with local environmental and tribal groups challenging the Line 5 pipeline relocation project. A cable man accused of assaulting a law enforcement officer during an OWI investigation has entered not guilty pleas in Barron County Circuit Court. According to court documents, 19-year-old Alexander Wright was charged with felony battery to a law enforcement officer and two counts of felony bail jumping. Wright was the passenger in the vehicle pulled over on December 1st and allegedly became combative as an officer conducted a field sobriety test of the driver. He's facing up to 6 years in prison if convicted on the battery charge. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks take on Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks back home tonight against the Miami Heat at Fiserv Forum, but Miami's Jimmy Butler will not be there. The former Marquette star missed the team flight to Milwaukee last night, so the Heat have suspended him the next two games. Butler claims he planned to take a later flight. He just completed a 7-game suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. He's made it no secret he wants to be traded to the Phoenix Suns. College football, the Badgers' new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, asked, what's the plan at quarterback now that Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke have both transferred out of Wisconsin?
We went and recruited a couple of guys. Billy Edwards obviously is somebody that we're expecting big things from. He came here not long after I did, and so there's a natural connection there for he and I. That would be the case whether he were new or not. Building a trust and a relationship with your quarterback is certainly something that's important for me.
That's the Badgers coach Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are going to put a tiny little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high right around 9 above. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping to 5 below. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high to 20. We're back to 28 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 5 above.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It's almost Friday. Whew. When was this week ever going to end? It just seems like it keeps going. And an infinite amount of stupid things, right? And I mean stupid things coming from our president. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. You can find me and Cardi behind the board here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. If you're more of a visual learner, please do not hesitate to check out Civic Media's YouTube channel, where you can watch me and the entire lineup of Civic Media's talk hosts from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also watch me at Maggie Dawn Show on the Gram, on the Book of Faces, and on the Twitter. I'm calling it Twitter because I'm not a Musk fan. Things are far too musky. You know what I'm saying? And not in a good way. We got a jam-packed show for everybody. You're going to want to keep it locked here for all of the 2 hours. We've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us at 2:30 to talk about Governor Evers' State of the State address yesterday, but maybe to talk a little bit more about the nonsense that Robin Voss spewed following that. I mean, I don't know. I challenge everybody out there listening. Does anybody really like Robin Voss? I don't know. It doesn't.
Ew.
Yeah, not really. Even conservatives don't like Robin Voss. Donald Trump doesn't like Robin Voss. Michael Gableman even hates Robin Voss. The list goes on and on. So we got the lieutenant governor and this afternoon. Let's see. I got to refer to my show notes. I'm so excited. We've also got assistant adjunct professor Pat Sobkowski from Marquette's Poli Sci Department, Marquette University's Poli Sci Department, to talk to us about what is birthright citizenship, where did it come from, how does it operate, can Donald Trump wave his magic wand or his big old Sharpie pen, you know, and not only change what the actual path of hurricanes are, but, you know, wipe away entire provisions of the Constitution in one fell pen swoop. So we got Professor Sobkowski here. He's going to be here at 3 p.m. And I am going to springboard off of that conversation because this was some big news this week. At 3:30, I'm going to be discussing Donald Trump's threat to throw into jail local law enforcement officers for basically following the 10th Amendment. Okay? It is pretty insane. And listen, folks, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm the former general counsel or chief legal officer from Milwaukee County. I was around doing that job back in Trump 1.0 during that first administration. He tried to pull a similar stunt like this back then. And yours truly, right here, shut him down, shut his Department of Justice down. So I have all the goodies on that and this most current threat. I'm going to break all that down for you. We're going to drop some links in the show notes so you can see my prior work on this issue if you're a super nerd and you want to check it out. So we're going to have all of that. I was going to tackle that top of the show, but because we've got the lieutenant governor coming on, I'm moving it to 3:30. So that is our lineup for today. Let me jump in. Yesterday, I spent an hour with each and every one of you talking about the fact that Donald Trump's flurry of performative political, frankly, I don't know, marketing blitz since January 20th is all huff and puff. It is no substance. There is nothing happening. There's no executive order that's actually articulating a specific plan to help the middle class. Most importantly, about freaking housing prices. We talked about it for an hour, and one of our incredible listeners, Kimber from Muskoda, texted me yesterday, hey, Kimber, thank you for that, and said, hey, Maggie, I thought I read an executive order that had something to do with housing prices. And I said, listen, I'm always happy to get fact-checked live on the air by my listeners, and I will follow up when I get things wrong. I'll apologize, try to get it right the next day. So I took that little homework assignment from Kimber in Muskoda, and I went and I checked it out. And here's what I found. It wasn't an executive order. It was what is called an executive memorandum, which is basically nothing. So there's executive memorandum. That's one thing. There are presidential directives. There are executive orders. And then there's like presidential proclamations. People get these things confused all the time, and they have different substantive and legal consequences and merit to them. So I'll get to what Donald Trump actually said about housing in a moment, because it's dumb and won't help, especially given the problems that I outlined yesterday. But I thought I would start us all by just a level set. So executive orders do have putative legal authority, or they purport to be effectively legally binding. Executive orders typically have to be executing things that are clearly an executive branch power, a presidential power. They typically cannot be contrary to enacted legislation. And they typically exist in this, well, there's a set of laws in the Constitution. How? It's about the how of the executive branch executing faithfully the laws of this nation. Because there's a lot of gap in there. It shouldn't, in general, change regulations that have gone through the notice and comment period and have been duly enacted as a question of administrative law, but sometimes they do. But to think of it this way, executive orders about the how the laws that we already have in the Constitution are effectuated or executed, again, by the, quote, executive branch of government. Executive memoranda look like executive orders, but they don't cite any legal authority for what they say. They're not really binding. They don't get published in the Federal Register. In other words, they're a bunch of huff and puff, all sound and fury signifying nothing. OK, now the most potent of all and presidential directives, presidential proclamations are things like I declare it Carty Day because Carty is an amazing producer. That's a presidential proclamation. They're useless too. OK, so this was an executive memorandum, which means all sound and fury signifying nothing. And you can tell that when you go read the thing. So again, thank you, Kimber. Folks, if you have questions or comments or you want to fact check me, I love that. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to get to what was actually in this executive memorandum in just a moment, but I got to tease what we're going to newly roll out tomorrow. We're calling this segment the Cardi and Callers Ask Maggie. And we're going to start doing this every Friday at 3:00. Okay. And here's the deal. You can text me questions. Just tell me when you text in on the text line. Hey, Maggie, this is a question for Cardi and the Callers. Ask Maggie questions. which we will do every Friday at 3 o'clock. So you can text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just note that, hey, you can call in during that period of time on Fridays, and we've set up a special email for you so that you can email me your questions. We're going to try to get to at least 5 questions every week, and here's the catch. I only have 90 seconds to answer. Yeah, because y'all know I like to talk. I mean, so we gotta put it, consider it Maggie Dawn like bumper bowling, right? We gotta put some limits on me because otherwise, you know, I'll go off. So I get 90 seconds to answer your questions. Try to keep them topical, or hey, just I don't get this, but it can be about the current events of the week. We ask the questions to be in good faith, trying to make us all smarter, doing it together, things that engender good and meaningful conversation. Maybe it'll highlight, if I don't have enough time, a great topic for me to cover the next week and to do a deeper dive. This is a direct way for you to impact what I talk about, not just for those 90 seconds, but potentially content for that next week. So I invite you all to participate. Again, that's going to be every Friday at 3 o'clock. And here's that email address. Get your pens and paper ready. We're also going to put it in the show notes for today. Here's that email address. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. I know it's really creative. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. You can remember that. You'll be able to participate this way every Friday directly. But of course, as you all know, if you've been regular listeners, I do my absolute damnedest every day to hit and acknowledge the text messages that are coming in, including criticisms, including our conservative friends that I love to engage with on this show. So you can always do that every day during the show. The call, the phone, and text line, again, is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So let's get into what Donald Trump had to say in this executive memorandum. Anytime you hear that, be like, it is meaningless. And when you read it, it is meaningless. I'm going to skip all of the like Biden slamming because most of it is just Biden slamming. It's like, oh, you're not doing anything. You're just slamming the guy that you beat in an election that's not president anymore. I don't know how that helps the middle class, Cardi. I don't know how him talking more trash about Joe Biden helps anybody.
Hey, that's Trump. That's what he does.
Right? And of course, we got bird flu. Price of eggs keeps going up. I think we're like up 37% year over year. I thought he was going to take care.
$90 for eggs now.
Yeah, like $4.50 if you can get them. I thought he was going to fix all this stuff on day one. I also thought the Ukraine war was going to end on day one. Weird. We somehow missed that deadline. Funny. I am going to read to you the handful of words in this executive memorandum that actually address housing. And the thing will speak for itself. In other words, I will read you the words. We can probably count them all together. And then we can decide together whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to do anything about housing. By the way, there's a little Latin phrase in the law that says the thing speaks for itself. In other words, it needs no explanation. It's res ipsa loquitur. Donald Trump's do-nothingness on housing is res ipsa loquitur, and it's going to hurt our families, your family, and people in Wisconsin in a very real way. All of his broken promises to the middle class. We're going to discuss that next. Don't go anywhere. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Whatever you want to ask, it's all right with me. Because you make this show better every time we engage in the great conversations that I hope you have come to know, love, and trust Civic Media to provide you every day. You can find me here every day from 2 to 4 p.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Always make sure you go get that app for free, crystal clear, wherever you may be. I come to you, of course, from the 540 WAUK in southeastern Wisconsin. You can check out and find your Civic Media local talk radio station by going to our website or checking out the app. Have fun with it, y'all. All right. We're talking about Donald Trump's do-nothingness on housing. He promised the middle class, everything's going to be better. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make things affordable. You're going to be perfectly protected. Everything's going to be fine. And in these first 4 days, he's done literally nothing on housing. And yesterday, a texter pointed out, hey, he did do something. There was an executive order on it. I explained last segment. It wasn't an executive order. It was an executive memorandum, which means it's a bunch of nothing. So let's read together. I have it. Would you be surprised? I did some homework. So if we just skip the Biden slamming, legitimately, here's the bullet point on housing. Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. Wow. Hey, yeah. What? Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. That's what it says. Yeah, like, yes. How are you doing that, sir? Generously speaking, the only thing that I can read in this that speaks at all to how he proposes to, quote, drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply is this part. Americans are unable to purchase homes at historic rates, which, by the way, the syntax of that is just stupid. Wait a minute. Are we tracking the rate of the inability to purchase homes? Like, what? that's not actually a thing that gets tracked. But setting aside that that's just a stupid way to talk about it, Americans are unable to purchase homes at historic rates, in part due to regulatory requirements that alone account for 25% of the cost of constructing a new home. First of all, that's garbage. That's just not true. You think like parts, materials, and labor and the land might, you know, probably make up more than 75% of the stinking cost of a home. Give me a break. Just dumb. That's it. His solution to drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply is deregulate. Deregulate what specifically? Through what agency? And just a reminder, remember all the things that we talked about yesterday that are contributing? Housing crisis, a shortage, and all of this massive price inflation, especially post-COVID, is things like price-fixing software that is now ubiquitous in the rental industry that amounts to a fair trade violation, right? RealPage, talked about it yesterday. Consolidation of in the housing market because private equity and hedge fund firms are buying up millions of units, single-family homes, reducing the supply, driving up costs. Remember, when supply goes down, prices go up. That's basic microeconomics. So if you have these massive trillion-dollar, $10 trillion allocators, investors like BlackRock, these hedge funds, these private equity companies, and they're snapping up all the single-family homes in highly desirable areas, yeah, that's reducing the supply of homes. And they're doing this with large-scale apartment buildings, multifamily units, all this. They're reducing the supply. All else being equal, supply goes down, prices go up. Oh, I know the answer to these anti-competitive practices. Oh, deregulate private equity and hedge funds and the housing industry. Allow more price fixing, more consolidation because we're deregulating. Yes, Donald Trump, that's going to make it better. It's just stupid. Let's count the total number of words of Donald Trump's big plan to solve the housing crisis. Shall we do it together? Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got 10 words there. And Americans are unable to purchase 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I'm going to call it about like 35 words. That's what he's given you and me on how he's going to solve America's housing crisis. 35, 40 words max. What an insult to the intelligence of every single person that voted for him. It's insulting is what it is. That's no plan. That ain't even concepts of a plan, sir. Failure. That's what I give that. I'm going to grade him. New idea, Cardi. Maggie Dawn grades Donald Trump on his promises to the middle class. We should do it maybe once a month. I'll give an update on the grade. Maybe he does a little better. We'll talk about that. I'll give him credit where it's due. But right now, sir, you get an F on housing. An absolute F. He's worried about tariff policy and lowering taxes for the rich. Oh, and of course, let us not forget that. He slaps 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and another 10% on China. What do you think that does to the cost of the supplies that are necessary to build the homes? That one freaked me out, Cardi.
That's what it does to the cost.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have something that sounds like it drives things up? But it blows it up. It like, this is all bad. I do want to give a little, I don't know if it's love. I'm going to acknowledge one of our texters who basically said, well, at least he's not trying to shut down a pipeline that provides good paying union jobs. Listen, we can actually have a policy argument about how to ensure a sufficient amount of energy, how to support family supporting jobs, union jobs, how to bolster union membership. Donald Trump ain't doing that. There's a legitimate environmental regulatory question about pipelines. We can have that argument. But Texter, you ain't saying nothing in defense of Donald Trump when it comes to housing policy. And if you want to criticize Joe Biden, he was dealing with a divided Congress. Divided government. Donald Trump, he's got all branches. So how's he going
to
get...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin's agriculture sector accounts for almost 10% of the state's total employment. We heard that this week at the Wisconsin Agriculture Outlook Forum. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday, here with Assembly Agriculture Chair Travis Tranel. He said one of the takeaways from the forum for him as both a state representative and a farmer is that the economic impact of agriculture goes beyond rural Wisconsin.
A lot of that manufacturing takes place in more urban areas. And sometimes I think we forget that. And why I think that's important is a lot of times I think legislators that are from more urban areas kind of look at rural Wisconsin and they think, well, what do they need now? What are they going to ask for today? And the reality is we really are codependent, because if we stop shipping them goods from rural Wisconsin, there are going to be a lot of people that live in urban areas that are going to be out of work. And I thought it was good to hear that.
Catching up with the representative Travis Tranel after the Wisconsin Agriculture Outlook Forum, he chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
Allie Streshinsky, a passionate dairy farmer and member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, is part of the next generation shaping the future of Wisconsin dairy. She shares insights on how programs like Dairy Checkoff have supported the industry's growth nationwide.
It's been a great experience as a next generation dairy farmer who started after Checkoff was already in place. I have taken for granted the impact on production innovation and building the Wisconsin cheese identity over the past 40 years. Checkoff has allowed Wisconsin cheese to be sold nationwide, and it can be found in 99% of grocery stores. I've been lucky to gain a front row seat to these programs that are designed to strengthen relationships with both bulk buyers and individual consumers. These programs help to coordinate things like in-store demonstrations, digital ads, in-store sales material, and both earned and free media. And this all encourages consumers to look for that Proudly Wisconsin label.
Learn more about how your Dairy Checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.org.
Welcome back on a Thursday. The Dairy Business Association has released its priorities for the upcoming legislative session, one of the first agricultural groups to do so. Their list focuses on attracting a skilled workforce to Wisconsin, supporting clean water initiatives, and improving transportation infrastructure. We have the whole list at MidwestFarmReport.com. In other agribusiness news today, registration is open for the 2025 Upper Midwest Hazelnut Growers Conference. This year, the conference is at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, March 7th and 8th. This is your chance to get acquainted with a valuable crop. Sessions will cover everything from planting to pruning and from harvesting to marketing. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to put a tiny little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high right around 9 above. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping to 5 below. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high to 20. We're back to 28 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 5 above.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bumping, 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 bumping,
bumping?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will join as we talk with Attorney General Josh Call in the Wisconsin lawsuit against the administration. Also, is the DNC prepared for what's next? Bill Press has thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The revolution will not be televised, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In addition to real news and great conversation, we also have fabulous guests. And my current guest is no exception. It is the amazing Lieutenant Governor of this great state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show, Sarah. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
You are en route. I love it, folks. If you're watching us on YouTube or at the Maggie Dawn Show, at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, or Insta, you can see the Lieutenant Governor. Thank you so much for making time while you're jetting about trying to get the people's business done for the state of Wisconsin. I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I've been traveling around the state today talking to folks and am currently en route again back to Waukesha.
Let's just jump right in. The governor has declared 2025 the year of the kid, which I love. Can you tell us what the governor means by that and tell us a little bit about his priorities for your kids, my kids, and everybody's kids here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I was really excited to listen to the governor's State of the State last night. And what I heard is a governor who is talking about what he really cares about, what he's really passionate about. We know that Governor Evers is an educator. We know that kids are very, very close to his heart. And he says it constantly. What's good for our kids is good for the state. And he means that. And so what he's putting into his budget is going to be a lot of dollars to be able to make sure that we are fully funding our public schools, that we are going to have the type of services that parents need within those schools, such as mental health services. And he's going to be reducing costs for families. So making sure that kids don't go hungry during the day, that that is something that they're able to get during the school day, breakfast and lunch. These are common sense types of things that we should be doing in Wisconsin. Like I said, I was in Eau Claire today, La Crosse today, I was in Black River Falls. When I talk to people, number one, they want us to work together, right? To make sure that we're doing what good things for Wisconsinites. But number two, they want us to do common sense solutions. They want to have a little bit more money in their pockets, be able to take care of their families, and they want their kids to be safe. And that is what Governor Evers is promising in his budget.
I think it's incredibly... It tells us a lot about the priorities of the GOP that Robin Voss has, every time he's been asked, said, well, we're going to object to any increased funding for public schools and education, which is insane. And his excuse for this is, well, last budget cycle, we made a once in a generation investment in public schools. And my response has always been, yes, because you've been systematically doing multiple defundings of public education, which proportionately, at least in my opinion, as an economist and a lawyer and somebody that went to public school, hurts rural public schools on a near-term basis more than it hurts the larger public school system because it's so much harder to absorb those cuts. What do you say to Robin Voss and conservatives that are balking at making these renewed investments in our kids here in Wisconsin?
That they need to listen to their constituents. They need to go out, knock on doors in the communities and talk to people. People want us to actually fund our public schools. And the proof is in the pudding because people have been going to referendum all across the state. They're asking voters what they want in terms of being able to raise their own taxes for their school system. And they have overwhelmingly said yes. So you know what? The community wants schools. They should be listening to their constituents and do what they want.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lieutenant Governor. Another thing that the vast majority of Wisconsinites support that is very common sense are red flag laws when it comes to common sense gun regulation. A recent Marquette poll finding 81% of Wisconsinites across party lines want common sense gun regulation. The governor, in the wake of our tragic Abundant Life shooting and yet again another school shooting yesterday in Tennessee, the passing of a colleague, City of Milwaukee alderperson Jonathan Brostoff, by suicide, a lot of press coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how frequently guns are used in suicide deaths here in the state. Tell us more about what the governor is proposing specifically and why folks that are hunters and recreational users of firearms need not be worried that the governor's not proposing to take your weapons. What is the governor proposing?
What he's really proposing is that we have red flag laws. So family members, police could actually be able to temporarily take away people's firearms if they feel that they are a danger to themselves or a danger to others. And what he talked about with that awful shooting that we had in Dane County is that girl, that young girl was actually communicating with somebody in California who was probably planning something similar. But California had laws to be able to take away temporarily those firearms so that they wouldn't commit that crime, that they couldn't go into a school and do something similar. That's what he's asking about here. The other one is to make sure that we have a waiting period for firearm purchases. So we know that if people have to wait between the time that they want to purchase the gun and then they're able to pick up that gun, it reduces suicides and it reduces homicides. So and we're not asking people to not be able to get a firearm. We're just asking them to wait a couple of days to make sure that we can prevent some of these things from occurring. And the other one is to be able to put yourself on a list.
Yes.
To say, hey, I'm concerned about my own mental health. I am concerned about that I may do something to harm myself. So I want to put myself on a list. So if I go out and purchase a firearm, these are the people who I want to be notified so that your family can know and they can come and they can help you.
All common sense things, including a proposal for universal background checks, as well as closing the gun show loophole. I'll just say this. Milwaukee County used to host a gun show in a county building. They stopped doing that years ago while I was still at the county. And one of the reasons why is that the, quote, gun show loophole, you can basically buy the parts of a gun, skip any, all kinds of different, the de minimis regulations that we have, you can completely get around them by effectively buying the parts that you need, as well as an instruction manual that tells you how to assemble the gun, how to take a semi-automatic and make it fully automatic at a gun show. Again, all of these things are very common sense, and the majority of Wisconsinites want them. What has been the response from the GOP, Madam Lieutenant Governor? And why is that just silly?
They basically are saying that it's a non-starter, that they're not going to discuss this at all, that this is not a problem that we need to address in the state of Wisconsin. And again, if you talk to people, you knock on their doors and you ask them about this type of legislation, even gun owners want this type of legislation. We know that it's something that Wisconsinites want. So that has been very, very frustrating to me to have the Republican response consistently be, we're not even going to discuss it.
Yeah.
You can't get, even if you put the legislation out there, we're not going to give it a hearing. We're not going to be able to hear from people in the community. We're not going to be able to bring it to the floor to see there's a whole new legislature because now we have fair maps. I know that there are likely people on the other side of the aisle that understand that these are common sense regulations. And he just doesn't want to even bring it to a conversation or to a vote.
Let me ask you a particular about something that Speaker Voss said, because I found it so repugnant. But to your point, Madam Lieutenant Governor, 932 people, Wisconsinites, died by suicide in 2022, and 60% of those
or firearm, killed themselves using a firearm. This is the problem. It is not a Republican problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's not a I'm not a voter problem. This is a problem. And someone that everyone that's listening, someone that you know and love is right now struggling with likely a serious mental health issue. So this is an everybody thing, which made what Robin Voss said in response to a reporter's question yesterday about the suicide of Jonathan Brostoff so disgusting. Here's what he said. Of course, we all feel bad for Jonathan's death, but to somehow use it as a cheap political stunt to get legislation passed that the governor knows is not going to happen really demeans Jonathan's memory. You say what in response, Madam Lieutenant Governor?
I think that's shameful. I served with Representative Brostoff. I went to his funeral. I spoke to his family, and they want us to pass this type of legislation. This is not politicization of his death. What this is a response to somebody we knew personally who used a firearm to commit suicide. And what his family wants is that if they can prevent one death with common sense legislation, then they know that they would be honoring Representative Brostoff's memory.
Folks, we're talking with Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We've been reviewing the governor's State of the State address last night that Civic Media carried in special coverage. We got a great question for one of our very smart listeners while we have been talking, Lieutenant Governor. Tiffany from River Falls says, what can be done to counteract Republican blockades of what is common sense legislation that the vast majority of Wisconsinites want? If you could speak to each of our listeners right now, Lieutenant Governor, what would you ask them to do to get past, to push through Robin Voss's tone deaf, out of touch blocking of the things that all Wisconsinites need and want to see done by the legislature and the governor's office?
So, number one, know who your legislators are and that your representatives and your senators, and particularly our Republican legislators, let them know what your thoughts are. But also, if they are Democratic legislators and you know that they're supportive, please reach out as well, because there were times where people would tell me, well, I didn't reach out to your office because I knew you would support this legislation. But I read all of those things and I can come to the floor and say the vast majority of people who emailed me want us to pass this type of legislation. We have elections coming up. We have a very important Supreme Court election coming up. Right now, we have fair math. If we do not, if Susan Crawford it does not win the Supreme Court election, we may go back to gerrymandering, and then we have almost a supermajority of Republicans again, and we have no chance of being able to pass some of this legislation that we know Wisconsinites want. So in 2026, the entire assembly is going to be up again for election. We have many people in the Senate. Half of the Senate is up for re-election. Figure out if that's in your district and make sure that you've got somebody who's good who wants to run in that legislation. If we can be able to turn the House, turn the Senate, we're going to be able to bring this type of legislation to the floor.
Thank you so much. That is Madam Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Her message to each and every one of you is know who your state assembly person is. Know who your state senator is. And regardless of whatever letter comes after their name, if you believe in common sense gun legislation to reduce the number of firearm suicides in the state, if you believe that every single one of the children here in the state of Wisconsin, including your children, deserve to go to schools, public schools, that are well-funded, that can give them the mental health support that our kids so desperately need, especially following the COVID pandemic, and to go to school with full bellies so that they can be ready to learn every day, pick up the phone, get on your computer, please call and email your assembly person and your senator, regardless of their party, and tell them that you support Governor Evers' agenda, including additional funding for public education, common sense gun regulation, support for child care, expansion of Medicaid and Badger Care in the state. Let's get it done, folks. Let's push past and beyond Robin Voss's intransigence. Thanks so much, Madam Lieutenant Governor. Folks, we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you Robin Voss's office number and email. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit izervay.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I woke up in the middle of the night and I noticed my girl wasn't by my side. Could have sworn I was.
You know who is on your side? Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. My most humble thanks to the Lieutenant Governor for making time in her busy, busy schedule to join us here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I'm the host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show. We talked about the governor's State of the State address, as well as Robin Voss's anemic, ridiculous, off-point, out-of-touch nonsense response. Because that's what it is. And I promised you all that I would give you Robin Voss's office number and email, which we will also put in our show notes for today, because I want you to flood his phone lines and his email to tell him, A, what you said about Jonathan Brostoff is disgusting. B, properly fund public education, including major investments in our kids' mental health, major investments in a meal program so that every child has a full belly. I don't know about you. But when I'm hangry, I can't get anything done. And you do not want to be around me. I can't imagine what it's like for a hungry kid. No way you can learn at school if you're hungry. To support common sense gun regulation. All of these things and more, every single one of us deserves. Oh, and this little tidbit. Sure, if you're considering tax cuts, that's fine. But don't you dare give a tax cut to the ultra wealthy in this state. Don't you do it, Robin Voss. Don't you try that stuff with us anymore. We're on to the grift, okay? We see you. I see you, boo. No more tax cuts for the ultra wealthy. All right, everybody got your pen and pencil ready? Today's one of those days where I'm just dropping all kinds of things for you. Here is Robin Voss's Madison office telephone number. There's two of them. One's a toll-free. Here's the direct line, 608-237-9133. That's 608-237-9133. 833. Here's the toll free 888-529-0033. And of course, his email. Fire off an email every day. Find yourself with a few minutes waiting for a coffee in line somewhere. Or as they say in Britain, online. I've never understood that. Are you on a line? Is there a line drawn on the pavement? No. If you find yourself with a couple of minutes, fire it off an email to Wisconsin Speaker Robin Voss and tell him to get things done for regular Wisconsinites. His email is rep.voss@legis.wisconsin.gov. One more time, it's rep.voss@legis.wisconsin.gov. Go get them. They need to hear from you, right? And by they, I mean every elected official, no matter what their party is. Because one of the things that I've always hated, and I haven't talked about this, I don't think, since the first of the year, is performative politics. And I don't mean the theater of politics. We all know politics is theater. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about when I use the phrase performative politics is this. Doing something that you either know won't work or will actually hurt your constituents or has no meaning at all because it'll get your name in a headline. Think the Ryan Clancy's of the world. And by the way, yes, that's me criticizing a Democrat. Performative politics definition one. You do things that you know are harmful or will have no effect or that are meaningless in some way because it gets you a headline. Performative politics definition one. Performative politics definition two. This is Robin Voss. Every day. All day when he's actually working. Because, you know, the Wisconsin legislature, they're out of session most of the year. Performative politics, definition two. The exercise of edge simply because you can. Or the exercise of power and leverage in a manner that actually harms constituents or doesn't get done what the vast majority of your constituents want. That is Robin Voss. Now, I would say performative politics definition one isn't morally bankrupt. It's just an ego enterprise, right? Like, oh, I just want attention. That's what performative politics definition one is. Attention-seeking behavior. But performative politics definition two, which is all Robin Voss, the exercise or use of leverage and power for no purpose or actually for a purpose or for an end that you know will harm the majority of your constituents or go against what the majority of your constituents actually wants, that has a moral element to it. And it is deeply flawed. And elected officials, no matter what their party, that engage in this kind of politics, either the ego-stroking definition of performative politics, number one, or this power exercise in a manner that frankly doesn't help the middle class or causes harm. These are things that we should hold every single elected official accountable for and vote them out. And I don't care if they may be a Democrat. They deserve a vote against them if they're engaging in these things. But in this day and age, watching Republicans in state after state and on the federal level pass out tax cuts to the ultra wealthy again and again, not getting it done for our kids and middle class working families, I've had it. They got to go. And the Democrats that get in bed with them to do that, them too. Not having it anymore, Cardi. Listen, when we come back, we've got a great next guest. I'm super excited. He is Patrick Sobkowski, a professor at Marquette University. He's going to talk to us about birthright citizenship, what it means, and why Donald Trump's attempt to make the Constitution disappear with one swipe of his pen is complete garbage. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Sandy Williams will be here to give his final thoughts on the first week of Trump administration, and we'll be joined by journalist Candy Stroud to discuss the legacy of President Jimmy Carter.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
American history comes to life at the Amory Library. Join us for History Night at the Amory Library, coming up on January 23rd at 6 p.m. This month, Crazy Horse, Custer, and the Battle of the Greasy Grass. It's History Night at the Amory Library. Join us on January 23rd at 6 p.m. Contact the Amory Library for more information.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The first of 1,500 troops deployed by the Pentagon are soon heading to the southern border. It follows President Trump's executive orders on immigration, including declaring a national emergency. The military's role is to support state and federal agencies, but could also add to tensions in border communities. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in El Paso.
The biggest concern here on the ground in these border communities is the optics of this. If we see military troops coming to our border, is this more of showing a sign of strength, you know, showing what the unapologetic message is from the Trump administration, or is this actually resolving a problem?
Pete Hegseth's confirmation to become the defense secretary, clearing another hurdle. The Senate passed a vote to advance his nomination. A full vote is tomorrow. The Senate confirmed John Ratcliffe as Trump's CIA director today. Trucks continuing to roll into Gaza, bringing much-needed aid for displaced Palestinians. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.